I really, really appreciated the breaking of bread this morning, just how it was done. And I had this thought, you know, the Lord really, really wants to get to us the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross. And there are all kinds of means that can be little helps to receive from God. You know, we talk about how God, we can receive healing and through the laying on of hands or through the elders anointing with oil. Through the word going forth, through praying for one another, but also even through the bread and wine, God can get the reality of what he's done on the cross to us all through these different means. But faith's the key, isn't it? And I have something to share this morning that's going to take us to Psalm 27. I'm really excited about all the psalms that are being quoted even this morning. So people are obviously reading the psalms and enjoying the psalms. I heard about a family, and I think, was it every night, everybody brings a psalm?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then Ken was showing off, saying he's at Psalm 104. I know that some of you are only at Psalm 20 maybe, but and I've read through all the psalms already, so I'm on my second tour of the psalms. So we're enjoying the psalms, and it's Psalm 27 I want to bring. Just bear in mind, you know, the psalm, there are various types of psalms. Psalms are not just the one type. You'll find that there's songs and poems, and some of them are psalms of praise. Some are psalms of thanksgiving. You'll also find psalms of lament, where the psalmist pours out a complaint to God, and there's psalms of celebration. And when we read the psalms, it's important to bear in mind that they're songs. So there's a lot of poetry in it. There's a lot of metaphor in it. And it's almost like they touch the heart, not just the mind. And they contain words and phrases that people spoke to God. And not just God speaking to us, but this records things that were said to God, prayed to God. And so bear that in mind when you read the Psalms. It's not the same as reading the epistles. It's not the same thing as reading the Gospels. You're reading something that was very much set to music. And it's full of poetry. But you know, they really are brilliant, aren't they? And this morning I want to speak a wee about something that, I don't know, I'll say like this. Have you ever bought something and you're given a guarantee? I want to give a guarantee this morning. If I can do justice to this subject, I guarantee everyone in this room and everyone listening on the internet will experience a breakthrough. If I can do justice to this subject, everyone will experience a breakthrough in your life. A greater freedom. Because I want to talk about a major weapon and stronghold of the devil. And no more Mr. Nice Guy. When it comes to what the devil tries to do to people. And the stronghold is this. Fear. Fear. I'm going to read the psalm first of all, and then we'll get into it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then in verse 2 and 3, the psalmist has reasons to be afraid, as we do. Evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh. That's strong. My adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. And David speaks about one thing he wants more than anything else. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And then David is very honest, lest we think he's over spiritual. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You said, seek my face. My heart says to you, Lord, your face, Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O God. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The stronghold of fear. Oh, the things I would do if I wasn't afraid. I would go for that promotion. I would be an initiative taker. I would leave the house. Do you know there are some people don't even leave the house for fear. I would go on a mission trip if I wasn't afraid. I would share from the front my testimony if I wasn't afraid. Public speaking is one of the scariest things, apparently. If I wasn't afraid, I would open my heart to people. I would open my heart to God. If I wasn't afraid, I'd open my home. If I wasn't afraid, I would obey God. If I wasn't afraid, I would go for it. If I wasn't afraid, I would surrender to the changes that God wants to make in my life. Did you know that change is stressful, even good change? And sometimes we're afraid to trust God to change us. It says in Proverbs that the fear of man is a snare, it's a trap. Afraid of what people think, afraid of what people will say, afraid of going public for Jesus, afraid of what? Of failure. Fear is a funny thing. I remember once I had to do a very fearful thing. I had to go to a secret location and meet a paramilitary council to speak for some patients who were being intimidated out of their homes. And I was afraid, but I got boldness to do that. But something much more scarier than that was telling my mum I was a Christian. I was more scared of my mum's response than that situation. Fear is a funny thing. David took on Goliath. No problem. But Absalom, one of his sons, frightened David that he had to run and hide in a cave. Elijah took on the prophets of Baal, 400 of them, fire from heaven. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then Jezebel, a woman, he got scared and ran away and became suicidal. Fear is a funny old thing. Your Goliath is easy for me. My Goliath is easy for you. There are all kinds of ridiculous fears. I came up with a few, and they all have fancy names. Anybody here got hylophobia? That's the fear of trees. Anybody here got normophobia? That is the fear of being in a situation where there is no mobile coverage. Xanthophobia is fear of the colour yellow. And here's one for all those that have come to Ireland from overseas. Ombrophobia is the fear of rain. I've met people with ridiculous fears, but they're not ridiculous to them. The devil is a dirty fighter. He takes advantage. We need to know that God can set us free from fear and put courage in our hearts. The psalmist experienced that. The top fear of all, apparently, is spiders. I thought it would be snakes. But actually, that isn't the worst fear of all, because here's what Hebrews 2, 14 to 16 says. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Christ, partake of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Christ sets us free from the devil and the fear of death. That's our inheritance. And we should not settle for anything less than that. I'm still saying a wee bit about the stronghold of fear, and here is a really scary verse. Speaking about fear, and I'm going to give you a scary verse. Revelation 21 verse 8 lists a group of people who will end up in the lake of fire. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? And I would expect to see on that list murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. But the very first one mentioned is the cowardly. Through fear and through lacking courage, people will compromise their life. They will compromise their integrity. They will compromise their morals. They will compromise their soul. I have some good news for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection and the power of his Holy Spirit, we are set free from the fear of death and from him who used to have the keys of death. But let's get positive here. Because did you know that in Christ and in God, there is a place where fear is something that, not that it's totally gone, but a perspective comes to your life, and there's a place in God where you can live without fear. You can be an overcomer. You can be more than a conqueror. And 1 John 4 verse 18 says this, and we actually sang this. Michael, appreciated your choice of songs today. It says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. When we know God loves us perfectly, it casts out fear. The antidote to fear is love. The antidote to overcoming fear is knowing the reality of the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this. I love Timothy. He struggled with a lot of personality issues. I think he was a timid guy. I think he lacked confidence in himself. And he was vulnerable to being afraid. And his great mentor says to him, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. The spirit he's given us is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and self-control. Fear is everywhere in the world. The news is full of it. Fake news is full of it. The social media is full of it. Brothers and sisters, we need to declare war on fear. And it's not that we pretend there isn't anything to be afraid of, but we so know him who overcame fear, we so know him who loves us perfectly, that it can put strength and courage into our hearts for the life that we're called to live. And so as we go down very quickly, Psalm 27, let me pull out a few helps and a few gems. And the first one is this. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? God is everything you need. He's light. He's salvation. He's the deliverer. He's a strong deliverer. He's a stronghold. He's a wonderful God. Don't be afraid of bringing your life into the light. If you've got an addiction, be honest bring it into the light, and 90% of that power will be broken. If you're struggling with a secret sin and you can't get free from it, bring it into the light, and 90% of it is broken simply by being real with God, being honest to God, and bringing it into the light. The devil works in darkness. God is light. God is salvation. Whom shall we be afraid of? David in verse 2 and 3 had reasons to be afraid. We see the enemies. We see even if an army rose up against him. And some people think that around this time he was maybe running away from Absalom or Saul or somebody like that. And he was facing very real situations. We can be honest with God about what we're afraid of. I'm not suggesting for one minute that we pretend we're not afraid, that we're not stretched, that we're not in trouble. We can be very honest to God. And verse 7 to 9 brings that out, because David says, "Hear me, God. I'm crying aloud. Answer me. You've said seek you. I'm going to do that. Don't hide from me. Don't deal with me in your anger. You've been my help in the past. Please be my help again. Cast me not from your presence. Forsake me not." It's very real. It's very honest. And that's okay. But in the midst of that honesty, in the midst of that pressing in God, we will discover a God who's able, who's a stronghold, who's light, and who's salvation. There is a place in God where he will calm our hearts and calm our fears. Verses 4 to 6. If only I can get to the temple. If only I can get into the tabernacle. If only I can get into the tent of his presence. Brothers and sisters, we have something more wonderful than the temple, more wonderful than the tent, more wonderful than an earthly temple. The scripture says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is not far off, he is near, he is close. He is with us, he is for us. Romans 8, 37 to 39. This is a real antidote to fear. And the Apostle Paul is writing these things. And bear in mind, the things that are mentioned here, Paul experienced every single one of them. Don't think for one minute before I read this that Paul thought he would write a wee devotional to comfort God's people. He had prepared a nice wee sermon for Sunday morning. Paul had walked through all these things. And he says like this, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." That's the key phrase, "who loved us." "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the God's honest truth. There is absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If my feelings don't agree with that, I speak to them. If my circumstances don't agree with that, I get my focus on God. I get my focus on the heavenly. If I'm surrounded by a world that is speaking opposite to that, I will not take that on board. The word of God is true. We have something in Christ that's absolutely wonderful. Verse 10, "My father and mother," David says, "My father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Here's the big antidote to fear. It's knowing and being absolutely persuaded that God loves us. And he is a perfect parent. Remember we talked Psalm 103 last time, two weeks ago? No, you don't remember that, but I did. And one of the things I didn't get to say, this was about our benefits. And in verse 13 of Psalm 103, it says this, As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I looked up the meaning of the word compassion. The Hebrew word for compassion is related and sounds like the Hebrew word for womb or uterus. Can a mother forget the child that she bore in her womb? In very, very extreme, rare circumstances, a mother will forget the child she bore in the womb. God will never forget his children. He is filled with compassion. To the depth of his being, he has pity and mercy and compassion for his people. Believe it. Believe it. Does it not say in 1 John 4:18 to 19, which I read earlier? I repeat. It says like this: there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear is to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. It's being absolutely persuaded that God loves us as a father. He loves us perfectly, and he demonstrated that love for us through Jesus' death on the cross. Let me say something about the love of God here. Several years ago, I heard someone say this, and he says, sometimes when we preach some things, a glaze comes over certain people and they don't get it. And this particular preacher told me that what he noticed, and he noticed that people had been involved in Freemasonry. When you preach about the blood of Christ, a glaze came over their face. They just couldn't see it. They couldn't get it. And it was almost like they needed a special prayer to release them from the power of that thing over them. And then they could see the blood of Christ. I have seen a glaze come over people's faces when you talk about the love of God. If they've experienced major rejection by a parent or by a spouse, it's like they don't get it that God loves them. Brothers and sisters, get this. God loves you. He's compassionate. He's a perfect father. He loves us perfectly. Get it. Get it as a revelation. People who dabble in false religions, particularly the mystery religions from the East, they can believe in God and they can have wonderful, beautiful thoughts about God and the highest poetry about God and the most wonderful meditations about God, but they don't get the fact God had a son. They can't see the son. They can't see Jesus is the son. They can't get it. They don't see it. Something has to be broken. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The Son reveals the Father. God and the Father are one. The love of the Father is revealed by the Son. We worship the God Jesus shows, that Jesus demonstrated. Let's get it. That's what sets us free from fear. That's what sets us free from the lies of the enemy. I appreciate a lot of my upbringing. And in my upbringing, I had a very strong background about the sovereignty of God, which I believe in. I have a very, very strong background in the depravity of man, which I believe is true. We can't save ourselves. And the sinfulness of sin, which I believe sin is utterly sinful. That's why Jesus had to die. But there was very little speaking about the other aspect of salvation, which was the resurrection of Christ and the fact that now in Christ we're a brand new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And it's like a glaze went over me and I couldn't quite see it and sense it and feel it. And I just want to say with all my heart, we need the whole counsel of God. We need all that God has provided through the cross, that in Christ all my sins are forgiven. In Christ I'm a new creation. In Christ I'm accepted and loved, and I was spoken earlier. In Christ I'm righteous. In Christ I'm complete. In Christ I receive fullness. I will never forget what I've been saved from, lest I become presumptuous and arrogant and proud. We don't need that. I will always be reminded of the cross every time I break bread. But in order to overcome fear, we need to know that in Christ we're safe, secure, delivered, and alive. Isn't that, it's absolutely outstanding. And that we are called to revel and enjoy the love of God. We love because he first loved us. We've got to get it. We've got to see it so we can be overcome, so that we can overcome fear. And so all's well and ends well in this psalm. The last few verses, David says like this, back to 27. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me. Don't give me up to the will of my adversaries. Verse 13, I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Are we going to give energy to our fears? Or are we going to give energy to our faith? Or are we going to give energy and space and meditation to the things that cause fear? Or are we going to give meditation, faith, and energy to the things that release us into God's full provision for us? I just love that phrase, wait for the Lord. I know this is probably a bit irreverent, but I think of being in a restaurant, and it's the best restaurant in the country, and you're sitting there with the menu, and it's the best food imaginable, starters, main course, desserts, appetizers, like you said earlier, the very best bread and the very best wine. And you take your very special friends to this restaurant, and you're waiting. You're waiting for the waiter. And he's on his way. He's on his way. He will definitely come, and you will not be disappointed. You'll get the best starter, the best main course, the best dessert, the best bread, the best wine. It will be absolutely abundant. And so when the Bible says, wait on the Lord, I don't think it's, I'm waiting on God here. You're waiting with an expectation that he's going to fulfill his promises, that you're not going to be disappointed. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. And I love this way it ends. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Exclamation mark. I don't know if that's part of the original or not. But that's it. He's coming. His supply is coming. His freedom is coming. His deliverance is coming. Answered prayer is coming. His kingdom is coming. Jesus is coming back. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Amen.